This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
FUBAR Radio presents Dave Hill's History Fluffer.
I'm in the second classiest hotel in Toronto.
Which is what?
The Holiday Inn Express? No. I'm by the Rogers Center.
Did you go to Gretzky yet?
I have not. I'm right around the corner from it. I might go there alone after my next interview. I might go there and treat myself.
It really is one of the worst restaurants in the world.
Well, you need to watch what you're saying there, because I think it's one of the best restaurants in the world.
Are you going to get the 99? You going to get the 99 burger?
No, I stopped eating hamburgers. Otherwise, I, without question, would have the 99 burger.
What's the American equivalent of Gretzky's?
Applebee's with hockey equipment.
Okay. Which most
I was going to go with Golden Corral.
Oh, wow. I think you're being a little harsh.
Maybe it's Hooters with hockey sticks.
Are we all blurring our backgrounds now? Should I blur mine?
Yeah.
I didn't blur.
DC Comics. Yeah, you did.
I don't think I blurred mine, did I?
Yeah. You did.
We all really like depth of focus, depth of field. Suckers for depth.
Oh. I didn't realize that I had done that. I think the listeners should know this is arguably the most futuristic episode of History Fluffer since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No question.
Which is to say, we are all in. I'm in another country. Which I'll
and
disclose.
So are we. So are we. We're in another country too.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, but you know. I don't think that really counts.
How come it's okay for you to be in another country, but then in terms of us in relation to you, we're not in another country?
Yeah, I guess in relation to me, but I'm just saying the listener will be thrilled to know that I'm in Canada right now.
Yay. Why are you in Canada?
I'm glad you asked, Jim. My new book, Parking the Moose, has been unleashed on an unsuspecting public. Except for all the people that are aware of it already. It came out today. Worldwide. Worldwide, Jim. It's not just Canada. It's America also.
And the book is about?
The book. I'm glad you asked, Jim. The book is about Canada, my travels through Canada. My grandfather was Canadian, and I decided to find out about his homeland.
Now I've been meaning to ask you this about your about the genesis of your book, which is your grandfather. Did he immigrate to Canada from another country, or was he born and raised?
Born and raised in Clinton, Ontario, which is a tiny little rural town not far from Lake Huron. You know, real salt of the earth types.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And they had a farm.
I mean, the kind of kill.
That'll be edited out.
I mean, it just got really dark. You can pick it up right where I said it just got really dark.
Was she Canadian as well?
No. She was born in, I want to say Cleveland. I'll just say it. I think Cleveland, to my knowledge.
So he married her for a green card?
Oh, gosh. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but now that I'm hearing it out loud, you might be right. It was a simpler time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so simple that my grandfather, one of his brothers, one winter, he just died, and he was very young, and he died, and that was just considered, you know, the cost of doing business at the time. You didn't make a big deal about it. You didn't whine about it.
What business?
I don't know, the business of having a farm in Canada, freezing all the time.
He just froze to death? Was that how he died?
It's unclear. I've heard various stories. I should probably run a check on this. But he either went to Winnipeg and died, or they went camping and he died. One of the two. Either way, I just know the other kids had to make or send a tough telegram or make a phone call or something. Probably not a phone call in those days.
As someone who recently went camping, I can reveal that it's very easy to die while camping. Not that I did die or witness anyone die, but I could see how someone could die very easily.
Bear attacks.
What I like about the story is it kind of feels like maybe he died in Winnipeg or maybe he died camping. Both scenarios sound a lot like the movie Ironweed.
Ironweed.
With Meryl Streep.
Oh, I don't think I know
where
that.
Where she freezes to death in the streets of Albany, New York.
Oh, wow.
Of all the places to freeze to death, too.
You don't want to do that in Albany. It's not. But Winnipeg and Albany are very similar.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I don't want you to cast aspersion on your newfound homeland.
No, well, I've been to Winnipeg and I've been to Albany, not to brag, and I see the similarities.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll just leave it at that. So let's get into this. This is History Fluffer. This is the podcast where we explore the amazing life of Dave Hill. His life has kind of always been at the intersection of, I want to say, art and commerce.
I'll take it.
Yeah. But also just artistic movements, musical movements, historical moments. He just always seems to be in the right place at the right time. But we kind of found out, he would tell us these stories, and we didn't believe them. And then we started to research them, and in fact, Dave was there. You were the sixth member of the Eagles, I believe, is one of the stories.
Well, you know, the joke there, Jim, is that I was actually the seventh member, because as everyone knows, the sixth member was cocaine.
It's funnier on Skype, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think what a lot of people will find is the joke, it gets stronger upon repeating every week.
It's like a sine wave. It's funny, and then it's not funny, then it's really not funny, then it's really not funny, and then one week, it all of a sudden, it kind of goes back up to being really, really funny.
Yeah, and you're just like, wow, I don't know how he did it, but he did it again. We're back on top with
you're a mathematical comedian.
Yeah, well, me, you know, and some of the other greats, Jay Leno, whoever else.
So this week, though, we have an interesting story because it's not really anything a lot of people know about. And maybe you're not even very proud of it because it is illicit. It's an illicit story. And that, of course, is the I mean, I guess if you're in Canada, it's famous. To Americans, we barely know it, but it's the great maple syrup heist.
Well, you're simplifying it a little bit. Heist. It was this is bigger than all three of us put together.
What is bigger than all three of us put together?
The Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist.
I left out Canadian.
Let me back it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you like pancakes, Jim?
Huge pancake fan.
Jim gave the thumbs up sign first. I could tell you, I have my camera on here. Chris, do you like maple syrup? I guess the question is, guys, you do like maple syrup?
Yeah. Are you drinking milk, Jim? I'm sorry, I got distracted.
No, it's ice cubes.
Oh, it looked like a glass of milk.
Oh, see, it registered on my...
How dumb do you think I am?
I do love maple syrup.
Do you like maple syrup and pancakes together, or do you like them separate?
No, I like all the foods that maple syrup goes on, I think, too.
I have a follow-up question. Wait, I don't understand. Why would you eat pancakes and maple syrup separately? How would you do that?
No, like you would eat... Saying some people don't like syrup on their pancakes. I don't know why, but some people don't.
Who doesn't?
Weirdos.
Weirdos.
What, how do they eat them then?
I guess they put butter on them or something. I don't know. Or jam or whatever.
Oh, you know what? Now that I'm hearing it out loud, in Norway, they make these heart-shaped waffles, and then you put like sour cream or some sort of cream and
probably cream cheese
jam on them. No, it's not cream cheese, god damn it. Let me finish. No, I don't know what it is. I think it's strong sour cream, honestly. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry for lashing out at you, Chris. The problem is I've been up since 6 a.m. and only surgeons, paper boys, and me basically were up, and serial killers and people on the lam, stuff like that.
And there's a big time difference too, right?
There's roughly 37 seconds time difference between New York City and Toronto. A lot of people don't realize that, but it will throw you.
Yeah. Which one's ahead? 37? Is New York 37 seconds ahead? Or
I go back and forth on it. I'm honestly not sure. I would maybe New York. It is New York, technically.
So Chris and I are having this conversation 37 seconds ahead of you.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, I don't know how you're gonna sink this.
It's giving me a lot of work.
The stammering I just did. That'll.
So talk to us about this. What was it called? The Great Canadian Maple Syrup. What was it?
The Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist informal name. It's informal name, but I mean, I'm just gonna go ahead and make it formal as a guy who was there.
You were there.
Well, basically, I mean, normally a lot of times on History Fluffer we talk about stuff that a lot of people already know about: lunar landing, CBGBs, the Eagles, the Beatles, the Sex Pistols, Son of Sam, serial, just, you know, things that are in the, you know, in the ether that most people can speak at length about. But
and mainly took place in the 70s too.
Well,
it does seem to be a lot of that.
That was a very active time for me, I'm not going to lie. Nor will I get into it, into the whys and the whats. But
and the wherefore.
But I was excuse me. Oh boy. This is do you know you ever been to the Dominican Republic?
Yes, I have actually.
I have.
Oh, you have. What why'd you go there?
I went to one of those all-inclusive places.
All inclusive,
like a sandal,
like one.
It was. I don't know like what it was.
Is it was like a, yeah, it was like a sex tourism type?
It was a sex tourism thing. Yeah.
Oh wow, this is hard to hear. I have to be honest.
No, it was like a resort, and you kind of they kept saying don't leave the property, which I found a little odd.
Because like really? Danger is like dangerous.
Parts of Dominican Republic are dangerous, yeah.
Mm.
But then again, isn't every place dangerous?
Yeah.
I mean,
my bathroom's potentially dangerous.
Oh, believe me, I've never been in your bathroom. I hate to tell anything that's not true on this show, so I don't want to lie and say I have been in your bathroom. But We don't
completely lose our credibility if you lied at all on this show.
Well, I would go as far as saying I'm sure his bathroom is plenty dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt. So there's that. But basically, the Dominican Republic, I was playing sort of minor league baseball in the Dominican Republic. The year would have been roughly 1989, so roughly 30, well, exactly 30 years ago. I wasn't the fastest or the best player out there, I'll be honest. And I was just a little scamp, still in my teens. And I wasn't, they always said I had a lot of heart, or down there they would say, "Oh my God, are one of you guys being set upon by bees?"
No, I think it was
Chris is being
attacked. It was a car zooming down the street.
Oh my God, I have never been more worried in my life. That was terrifying. I thought one of you guys, this sort of ties into, oh God, I'm sort of getting ahead of myself. But basically I was playing, bees love maple syrup. I'll leave it at that. I'm sort of dragging you through to the ending. That's sort of like flipping to the end of a book.
So you're gonna tell the story at the end, and then we're gonna go, and then we're gonna see a black screen, and it's gonna say 10 months earlier, something like that.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I'm being held down in the Laurentian Mountains.
Mm-hmm. Is that where Montreal? Is that Montreal?
It's not far from Montreal. It's sort of a vacation destination. It would be like going to the Poconos, if I don't know. Yeah, it's sort of near Montreal. I don't know why. Jesus Christ. But what happened with me was I fast forwarding to the end. I don't want to spoil the ending, but bees love, sugar. They love maple syrup.
Yeah.
And when you're covered in maple syrup and you're at an apiary, let's just say you don't have you're in a sticky situation, both figuratively and literally.
Did you willingly go to the apiary while covered in maple syrup?
And were you dressed?
I know it sounds like victim blaming, but
I wasn't dressed. That's a whole other story.
So hang on. So Chris asks, did you go there? And then I asked the second victim blaming thing as to what were you wearing? Because bees are attracted to that.
I was wearing sort of a pantsuit originally, sort of a belted pantsuit with short sleeves, very breathable.
Yeah.
Do you know, Jim, a lot of times when people are running for their lives, they're being shot at. The first thing that that goes is your bowels.
You avoid yourself, yeah.
You avoid yourself. So basically, I shit myself running through the Laurentian Mountains. I was being chased by the Royal Mounted, the Canadian police or something, and them.
So hang on, because you lost me. So you're in the Laurentian Mountains, a beautiful mountain range in eastern Canada.
Yep.
You're wearing a pantsuit. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm wearing a pantsuit. I was on vacation, but I was running for my life, which was not very relaxing.
The Royal Canadian Mounted Police are in hot pursuit of you.
Yeah, they're shooting at me, which doesn't seem very Canadian at all, but they were.
Oh, I'm surprised. I didn't even know they had guns.
Wow, and these, you know, to be honest, these guys may not have been police, the more I'm hearing myself say it out loud. But they wanted me dead, basically. But so anyway, I shit my pants, had to change out of the pantsuit. I had brought some maple syrup from the heist to a buddy of mine who had an apiary. My buddy Ronnie Levesque Saint-Germain,
name checks out.
Yeah, I slipped. This is disgusting. I'm just gonna be honest. When you saw you stepping on a thing, I slipped in my own feces, I guess, and that caused.
Did you run? Did you run backwards into your feces? How do you slip on your own feces if you're running? At the same time.
No, this was after I was getting out of the pantsuit. I thought I had made it to safe coverage. I decided to change out of this shit-soaked pantsuit, and in doing so,
I see.
This is really not. I hope there's not a lot of families listening, but I slipped on and I slipped, causing the maple syrup to. I dumped maple syrup all over myself by accident, and in doing so, also fell into the whatever those the things that hold the bees. Is that the apiary? I don't know. Anyway, I was bit horribly.
You mean the things that the beekeepers those big squares of wood?
The things where the bees are. Jesus, I don't. Yeah, I mean basically. Yeah.
I'm just asking.
But you know, normally I don't like to give background.
I know you don't.
But just and to bring it to the beginning, well, the Great Canadian Maple Syrup Heist. If people have not Googled this already as we're talking,
I'm gonna Google.
Months-long theft between 2001 and 2012 of nearly 3,000 tons of maple syrup.
3,000 tons.
3,000 tons. Do you know how much that is?
In metric or in American?
It's roughly 9 Bed Bath and Beyonds full of maple syrup. If you can visualize that. If you were to empty. If you were to empty a Bed Bath and Beyond of its contents, I should say.
Sure.
And
you're just saying the housing of a Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah.
You're saying the items in a Bed Bath and Beyond.
No nothing items. In there. Nothing's in it. It's the items have been replaced. Every square foot of the place is filled with maple syrup. It is roughly.
I would like to see that.
14 Bed Bath and Beyonds full of maple syrup. That's 3,000 tons valued at $18.7 million Canadian. That's like $450 American. No. No, it's quite a lot of money. It's quite a lot. As you know,
I have a member of my family lives in Canada, so I'm constantly. I have the converter. It is roughly $15 million.
It's a lot. I mean, any way you slice it. It's a lot. So it was all stolen from a storage facility in Quebec. That facility, to be clear, was not a Bed Bath & Beyond. It was just a facility. Facility was operation by the Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers, or Fédération des Producteurs Agricoles in French. They represent 77% of the global maple syrup supply. And they've been compared to a cartel, and not just by me.
Why are they compared to a cartel?
I guess because they control so much of the supply.
Yeah, I mean, they've basically, I mean, if you were listening, Jim, you would know that, I mean, basically you want maple syrup. You 77%, that's roughly 3 out of 4 times you're going to be going to these guys.
Mm-hmm. I have, essentially, they have a monopoly, is what you're saying.
They have a monopoly. That's the only way to put it, really. Mm-hmm. But what happened, you know, these guys, they make this big thing, this, I don't know, the Federation of Quebec Maple Syrup Producers, or fuck MISPS. That's the
acronym, the acronym for
Fox MISPS, yeah.
Fox MISPS.
Mm-hmm. The multiple warehouses in Quebec towns. Over the course of several months between 2001 and 2012, nearly 10,000 barrels were stolen in the suspected insider job. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't an insider job, you better fire your security guard. Because if anyone steals 10,000 of anything on your watch,
right? If it's not an inside job, then yeah. I mean, someone's asleep at the wheel.
So these guys would steal the barrels. They were only inspected once a year. They would steal them and siphon off the maple syrup and replace it with water.
Right.
And then eventually they got, and when I say they, I mean them and me. I mean, I guess I'm sort of spoiling it, but I was heavily involved. I stole a lot of this maple syrup, basically.
What was your role in this?
You know, you ever try to siphon gas from a car, Chris?
No, I've never.
I haven't.
Well, the only way to get it going is to suck on it.
I've heard that.
Put a hose.
You gotta create the suction.
Yeah, you got it. And 9 times out of 10, you're gonna wind up, if you're not careful, you're gonna wind up with a mouthful of gasoline. Now,
right. So you gotta time it out so that you're sucking on the hose, and just as the gas gets to your mouth, you turn it out, right?
Get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Mm-hmm. So, the same technique with maple syrup. Only maple syrup is the viscosity is so much greater than gasoline.
Right.
And I was what they used to call the suck guy.
It's a clever name.
I would have to suck.
I'm assuming it's because you're the guy creating the suction on the maple syrup, or was there another reason?
Yeah, but you don't understand. I mean, you know, Chris is saying that's a, what did you say?
I said that's a clever name.
Clever name. Okay. So, you know, but it does sound pretty simple when you say it in
English.
In English, your language. But in French, it's far more glamorous. It is.
I think there's a picture of you right there.
Oh wow.
Of me.
Yeah, right over there. The
background. Wait. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can see me over here. The listener can't see it, but basically, it's in a sugar house. They're making sugar, and I'm over there in the corner, sucking off a barrel. I don't like to put it that way, but well, very quickly, if I can get back to it, in French. The suck guy is sucker mec. Oh.
Wait, what? I'm sorry?
Sucker mec.
I've never heard of what. Say it again.
Sucker mec.
Suzanne Mick. What's the Mick part?
Guy.
Oh.
So that's how they would call you out to be like, Susan Mick, come over here.
Well, yeah, I think they would call you, Sucre Garcon or something, you know, like Suck Boy.
But sometimes I got to be honest, they just called me Dave. I got to be honest. You know, they wouldn't even bother Dave. With. I mean, it's what I answered to. Yeah.
So they would just say, hey, Dave, get over here and start sucking.
Yes, Suzette Gasson. I did get that sometimes. So that was my sort of role in all this. Now, backing it up, so I've given you a bit of a background on the great maple syrup heist. And anyway, so... Yeah, the maple syrup was then stolen and taken to Vermont and New Brunswick. That's in New Jersey. No, it was in Canada. There's one in New Jersey as well, right?
There's a New Brunswick in New Jersey.
Okay, that's why some of the listeners are getting confused, and I was also confused. 17 men were related. Anyway, so...
Are you talking about when you reference New Brunswick, are you talking about the one in New Jersey or are you talking about the one in Canada?
I'm going to say the one in Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
So now you were stealing the maple syrup to what, package yourself and sell it and make a profit?
Yeah, I mean, why else would you do it? I mean, aside from just the fun of being naughty, sure.
Right, naughty with maple syrup.
Yeah. Backing it up, though, what happened with me, I'm in the Dominican Republic playing minor league baseball as a teenage boy. For the Santo Domingo Soberanos, and the Soberanos balloon guys. We were a team, the Santo Domingo Soberanos.
What does that translate to?
I mean, do I really need to tell you?
Yeah, because I don't know what the hell
it
is.
The Santo Domingo Super Rallies. I think it means super guys or something. Not sure.
Super hombres.
Super, okay.
Super hombres. I see what you're saying.
excuse me. Oh, anyway, so I'm playing. I cannot catch field or hit or any of those things, but I, as I said, I had a lot of heart and a lot of spirit, and I could block the ball. Someone would hit a line drive, I'd get in front of it with my face. I did whatever it would take, basically.
That could be very painful if that's your strategy.
Oh, it was horribly. I mean, second to being set upon by bees after I was covered in maple syrup, I would say getting hit by a line drive when I was playing the Santo Domingo Super Ibles. That would be number two.
Right.
And literally number two sometimes, because sometimes when your body is shocked so much, Jim. And Chris,
your bowels just loosen, right?
Yeah, you shit yourself. So I was basically known for stopping line drives with my face and subsequently often shitting my pants right there on the field. Anyway, my point is, one day, and I'm not seeing a lot of game time, but one day I'm scouted by a scout on vacation, Renald Sinclair, scout for the Quebec Nordiques, former WHA.
Can I just stop you for 1 second?
Sure, go ahead.
I mean this with all respect. I've just never heard anyone massacre so many different languages, including English, in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta admit, it's tricky. I'm, like I said, I'm a little jet-lagged.
Oh, okay. So, well, that's, yeah. Because really of the 37-second time difference.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people make light of it. They think, well, that can't possibly have much of an effect. But you take my word on it. It has quite an effect. Mm-hmm. So, it took it out of me. And, but basically, you know, this guy, Renald Sinclair, comes up to me with his wife, Francois, and they say, you're horrible at baseball, but you would make an incredible hockey goalie. How would you like to play for the Quebec Nordiques? I say, sure, why not? Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They life flight me up to Quebec. I'm in Quebec.
Why did they life flight you?
I had sustained a lot of injuries, and I needed some work to get the functionality out of my face again. And they said, hey, if you're going to do this, you know, let's do it in France. I mean, they were saying it with a French Canadian accent.
I see. I follow you.
So, end up. Jim just left. Did he just leave the show?
I just let the dog out.
Oh, he's letting, I didn't know you could just get up and walk away.
He's got the wireless headset on, so you can just.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he just. I mean, for the listener, as we're doing this on Skype, three different, two countries,
yeah.
One province, two states.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim just got up and walked away, and I thought, well, he's had enough.
I'm back.
A lot of pets too.
Yeah, someone just walked around in the background, in Jim's background. I don't know. No questions asked. Just let it float on down the river. What I want to say is that I get up there to Quebec, and I'm in Quebec City. A team of surgeons hovering over me, all speaking French. You know, I'm on so many drugs and things to get through. Anyway, I end up being goalie for the Quebec Nordiques in preseason.
Right.
And
this is after your operations?
After the operation, I was hit in the face several times by a hockey pucks. This was because I'm a.
This is in service of the, what was the team?
Quebec Nordiques.
You were hit in the teeth with the mouth with a puck.
Very hard. Yeah, I lost most because I was very from the old time hockey. Toe Blake, Jacques Plante, who the inventor of the goalie mask. And I had, you know, the guys in good fun had decided to, you know, hey, let's send a little chin music Dave's way before he gets a chance to get his mask on, right?
Now, chin music is.
They're hitting me in the face with the puck.
That's slang, yeah. Though. It's
hockey. Yeah. It's used in baseball sometimes too, and high ally as well. But
that's a sport.
Oh, you want to, do you have time for my high? We don't have that much time. I should tell you my, remind me to tell you my high ally story. at some point. Chris, you know what Hialeah is, right?
I don't know.
You don't know what Hialeah? What do you say? Oh, jeez. Wow. We got to get you.
Oh.
Hialeah is a game.
Chris, I mean, first kind of, I just want to say, Chris, get out of the house more. Just get out of the house.
Yeah, or hey.
Connecticut, and go up to Medford, Connecticut with, a, I don't know, a fistful of dollars and get yourself to a Hialeah tournament.
Yeah, what, or, is hey, it? Why don't I make it easy on you? Google Hialeah.
How do you spell that?
Hi, a lie. J-A-I, next word, a lie. A-L-A-I, Hialeah.
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 I can't believe he's never heard of Hialeah.
Okay. Found it.
It's just weird.
Is it a generational thing? No.
No, it's like a guy who's never heard of Hialeah thing, I guess.
Is it a common thing or what? I don't. It's a game. I still can't find it.
Don't try not to act so stupid, Chris. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, is this an act? Because it now it's starting to seem like an act.
It's not work.
It's not an act. I don't know.
Oh boy! Oh boy! Okay. Anyway, Hialeah is a sport where it doesn't really have, I'll be honest, doesn't have a lot to do with
here's your story.
Yeah, if I'm being honest.
I can't imagine how it could have anything to do with your story.
It doesn't have a lot to do with it. So basically what happens is...
Oh, I know what this is. Okay. Sorry.
What?
Hialeah.
Hialeah? Wait, you said you know what it is?
Well, now that I'm seeing pictures of it, yeah, I've seen this before.
But you didn't know what it was?
No. I assumed that was like lacrosse, like a different version of lacrosse or something.
Good God. it's getting worse with every,
Here's Chris playing Highline.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can see it. The caption for that photo, well, no one can see it, but the caption is, well, you want me to wait and not play yet? Okay, I'll go sit down. That makes no sense to the listener, but if they could see this photo, that's what the player seems to be saying. Oh, you want me to go wait outside? Okay, I'll come back later.
Because I could. Okay, I'll go.
You don't want me to play Hialeah?
My giant Hialeah net.
You don't want me to play Hialeah with you now? Okay, bye. Anyway.
Oh, Chris. You're a terrible Hialeah player.
It's. But I get it. Oh my gosh, we gotta wrap this up.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Anyway, all by way of saying, I am horribly bleeding and disfigured as a result of being hit in the face by hockey pucks. Some people say, a lot of serial killers, the common thing is they had head trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a true thing. I'm not making this up.
So a lot of serial killers have had some kind of brain trauma that makes them psychotic.
They don't know but basically it's a detail of their thing. It happens. But what all by way of saying is, as in at least my case, syrup heist orchestrators also have had head trauma, and I did in the form of being hit in the.
Is that a genre? Is that a thing? Is that a category of people who essentially organize maple syrup heist? Is that a?
Well, I mean,
is that
I
a
think
thing like serial killers. And-
There were 17 men arrested in relation to the theft, so I personally know of 16 syrup heist guys, if you want to call them, or syrup heist garçons.
You were number 17. Were you arrested?
I was arrested eventually, yeah.
Eventually?
Yeah, I got... I got, they nabbed me at an IHOP outside of Paramus.
Oh, man.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the obvious question. Were you selling illicit or stolen maple syrup to the IHOP, or did you just like IHOP?
Well, yes to both, I guess. I do like IHOP, and I even like their brief iteration as IHOB, International House of Burgers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even though I don't eat burgers myself, I it's fun to say IHOP. Don't try it now because we're running out of time. But yeah, that's where they nabbed me. I was basically refilling, taking the syrup out of the syrup containers at IHOP and refilling it with the stolen syrup from the Great Canadian Maple Syrup.
So you're kind of like laundering the syrup then.
Then my plan was exactly then to sell. I would then go resell the syrup that I in turn had stolen from the IHOP. That was eventually how I got arrested. But prior to that, when I was on top of the world as a maple syrup thief, is when I visited.
Yeah, I know we don't have a lot of time, but are you living high on the hog? Like, what is the lifestyle of an international maple syrup?
You know how sometimes you don't have enough maple syrup and you have to sort of ration it out at meals, or maybe you don't have quite as much on your plate as you would like. Mm-hmm. I never had that problem. I always, without exception, always had more than enough maple syrup for any situation. I would put it on things. I'd put it in my coffee. Basically, if it would hold still, I would take a chance on putting maple syrup on it. That was my situation.
Whatever it was, just stood still, you would pour maple syrup on?
Yeah, and there was never a time when I didn't have at least $40 in my wallet.
Of maple syrup?
No, just $40.
40 Canadian dollars.
Yeah. I mean, I was living so high on the hog.
You were living well. Really?
I was living well, yeah. But then what happened with me is, I got nabbed at the IHOP, and eventually served 2 weeks in France.
Sorry, my cats are trying to kill each other.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I don't know if they are.
Are you under duress?
What?
Are you under duress?
Am I underdressed?
Well,
that too. No, under duress, like it's someone holding you at gunpoint off the camera.
No.
So basically, I got out eventually, and I got a job at Sam's Club.
the big box store, like the Costco kind of place?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think it's pretty different from Costco, and I think were to compare and contrast Costco and right. Sam's, I think you would find they're not very much alike at all.
Sure.
Costco has the pretzels and hot dogs, though.
Fine, go to Costco. See what I care.
How long did you work at Sam's Club?
6 weeks, and then there was an incident there that I... That's the story for another time.
Did it involve maple syrup?
No, but do you know what animatronics are?
Yeah, it's like you're like robot.
Well, you're simplifying it a little bit.
Okay.
Well, thanks, guys, though, for talking to me. Glad I got this, at least. All right. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Like Hi, I'm Dave Hill from Show Business. And while I'm not from Canada, my grandfather Clarence Vincent Blake Sr. was, and he wouldn't shut up about it. My grandfather moved on to that great penalty box in the sky way back in the 80s. Still, all these years later, I can't help but wonder, what do we really know about Canada and its people? Which is why my friend Chris Gersbeck and I decided to make So, You're Canadian. Brand new podcast from the Maximum Fun Network, on which I attempt to get to know our neighbors to the north, one Canadian at a time. While I'm at it, I'll also attempt to answer some tough questions like, who are the tragically hip, and what exactly do they want from us? What is curling? And perhaps more importantly, why is curling? And last but not least, how could a country so close to the United States manage to be so very different from us? To get these answers, I'll talk to people like author and known Canadian Malcolm Gladwell, comedian and star of one of my favorite TV shows, Letterkenny, K. Trevor Wilson, and Regina, Saskatchewan-based First Nations filmmaker Trudy Stewart, just to name a few. New episodes will be released every Tuesday, and I promise you, they will be so Canadian, you're probably going to want to eat poutine and guzzle maple syrup straight from the bottle while you listen. For more info, go to MaximumFun.org immediately. And be sure to subscribe to So You're Canadian on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever else you get incredible and seriously Canadian podcasts. So, You're Canadian, coming to Maximum Fun, August 27th. And I'm not sorry.
Canadian roots. I traveled through Canada near and far. I ate more poutine than 10,000 rocket rashads. That's a lot of cheese curd. Park in the Moose. It's my book about Canada. Fascinating country, it's easy to see. I could have written 50 chapters on just Geddy Lee. Ontario. I even went to Regina. I still can't believe that they really pronounce it that way. Someone needs to tell them. Park in the Moose. It's my book about Canada. 37 million people. No, they can't be wrong. And if you don't believe me, ask Celine Dion. I bathe in Crown Royal. I finish every sip while eating Tim Hortons and rocking to the hip. In 2012, Canada ditched the penny. My favorite TV show is Letterkenny. The Montreal bagel is the food of the gods. I prefer my heavy metal in the form of Voivod. Park in the Moose. Park in the Moose. Park in the Moose. Park in the Moose. Park in the Moose.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.